how you serve the Lord today matters. It just does. Time and again, we are reminded about this future day. Paul tells the Corinthians, listen to this, about this future day. Each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15. Later he writes in his second letter to the same church, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what they have done in the body, whether good or evil." And the good and evil here does not refer to moral good or moral evil, but to works or acts of service that are eternally valuable, good. Paul identifies that as works done with pure motives, that being gold, silver, and precious stones, 1 Corinthians 3:12, versus activities that in the end will prove to be useless, works done selfishly, faithfully, or a life pilfered away, wasted on things and activities that have no eternal valuable. He identifies those as being wood, hay, and stubble, or straw, 1 Corinthians 3:12. The things that you are doing, friends, the works you do in this place among the saints and in the community matters. And you will be called to account. Jesus our Lord tells us in Luke 12:48, everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrust much, they will demand the more. And in that context, it's referring to knowledge. You who know the will of the Lord are expected to do the will of the Lord. And the person who doesn't understand, Christ says, will be beaten with few stripes. Again, Paul informs us in 1 Corinthians 4:12, "Moreover, it is required of stewards, managers," that's all of us, "that they be found faithful." Beloved, our service to the Lord will be called to account, and we will personally give an account to Jesus Christ of the service that we have rendered and of the lives we have lived as believers. We will be responsible for how we have given ourselves to gospel ministry and the good works that He has ordained for us to do. Works that He's ordained from the foundation of the earth, Ephesians 2:10. "For we are His workmanship," or His, listen, "masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Beloved, be sober-minded. Our faithfulness to the Lord will be examined, and a verdict will be rendered. Be sure of this, the Lord will not say, "Good, well done, good and faithful servant," if you have not done well. God doesn't lie. He doesn't gloss over. He gives the truth, a rightful estimate. Therefore, give yourselves to the work of the Lord. Live for that which is eternal, not for that which is temporal. And when you do so, don't do so out of a sense of guilt or fear of judgment, because in Christ you are free. Free from eternal condemnation. Love your Lord. He has saved you and He has bought you with the precious blood of His Son, as a lamb without blemish or spot. Let us live for Him with all of our heart. And if you're tempted to sit here and think that God requires too much of you, or that He is somehow unjust or unrighteous in His works, you have yet to understand the goodness of the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who puts their trust in Him. Serve the Lord out of love for the worthiness. Serve Him out of the worthiness of who He is and for the fact that He will examine your work. Beloved, be faithful to share Christ and serve Christ with sincerity and in truth, because there is another judgment coming for the world. The Lord has appointed a time where He will judge the world by His Son. There will be a reckoning for all humanity. And this judgment will involve eternal punishment It is the great white throne judgment spoken of in Revelation 20. And according to the scriptures, everyone whose name was not recorded in the book of life will be thrown into the lake of fire, a fire of which John writes that they will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Revelation 14, 10 through 11. As such, church family, Paul urges us, therefore, knowing the fear or the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5, 11. The reality of judgment should move our hearts as ambassadors of Christ to reach the lost with the good news of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5, 20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And how are we made right with God or reconciled to God? Through the death and resurrection of his Son. Beloved, thanks be to God that those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. All who bow their heart in submission to Jesus as Savior and Lord will be spared his wrath. With this said, in the present now, we look to Jesus Christ himself, who, though he is our Lord and Master, he is also the supreme example of what it means to be a true and faithful servant. Moreover, he is our hope in failure. Each one of us will fail as servants of the Lord. But our standing before the Father, before our Master, does not rise and fall on us, but it fell on the Son because he lived a perfect life. He said in John chapter 8, I do always those things that please him. And his perfect obedience as the perfect servant of the Lord became ours, our righteous standing, through faith in him. He is our hope when we fail. Jesus' perfect obedience still covers us. I'm secure in Jesus' obedience as the servant, as being the servant of the Lord. Jesus is the perfect and ideal servant prophesied by Isaiah when he wrote, God speaking through the prophet, Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. And the New Testament tells us that Jesus our Lord took upon him a form of a servant or a slave. And he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And he did so to pay for the penalty of our sins, to bring us to God. Jesus is the fulfillment of Psalm 40, 6 through 8, where he is spoken of as the slave whose ear is pierced because he loves his master and elects to serve him forever. Jesus said of himself again in John 8, 29, I do always those things that please him. In John 6, 38, he said, For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And as such, Jesus said of himself in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom or a payment for many. He told his disciples in Luke 22, 27, I am among you as one who serves. With this in mind, he sets forth the example of ideal servanthood in John chapter 13 when he told his disciples in the upper room, You call me teacher and kurios, Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed or happy are you if you do them. John 13, 13 through 17. Beloved, Jesus is the supreme example of servanthood. He is our model and our master, and it is through him that we realize the full significance and blessedness of the relationship that exists between ourselves, between God, who is our master, and us as his servants. It's through Christ we experience it and realize and come to know its sweetness. And with this in mind, our Lord promises his provision and protection in the present. Since we are in Christ, loved as the Son, we are united in him. That's why time and again you read throughout the New Testament, in him, in Christ, through him. We are loved and united with the Son, loved and received as His servants. We do not need to worry about the necessities of this life, nor do we need to fear the opinions of the opinions of men or the evils of men. We need only to preoccupy ourselves with the preeminence of the Lord and His will. We are to give ourselves in faithful service to our Master, and in so doing, He will be faithful to provide the strength, the endurance, the wisdom, and the resources, whatever we need for the task that He has called us to do or to endure. When you're in need, simply come before the Lord and let your request be known unto Him. Philippians 4, 6 through 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard." It will garrison your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Believers, tell Him in prayer, tell the Lord what you, His servant, needs for His service and for life. If you need a new washing machine, tell Him you need a new washing machine for serving your home and for doing the work of the Lord. If you need wisdom for a task, ask Him. God gives wisdom liberally, and He upbraideth not. If you need strength when you are weary, tell Him you need strength. If you need direction on where to go with your life, and to make decisions you're unsure about, tell Him. Or you need patience to do His will and to serve His people, tell Him what His servant needs. He knows what you need, yet He beckons you to come to His throne of grace, to pour out your heart before Him and to receive mercy and grace in time of need. And because of King Jesus and His cross, His death and resurrection on our behalf, His throne is no longer a throne of judgment, but one of grace, ultimately for His people. Whatever is needed for life and His service, let Him know and then wait for His provision and be patient. Beloved, to be a servant of the Lord is liberating and it's joyful because God saved you and He has pledged to care for you. Everything that you need to do His will, He will give it. Everything. And when you need dying grace to pass from this life, He will give it. So let me ask you this morning, whom do you serve? Can you say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Do you serve Adonai or yourself? Do you live as the master of your life and the captain of your soul, calling the shots with your wealth, with your time, your energy, and your resources? I will serve or I will not serve. There's a temptation the longer we serve to think that we have done our time, that I have other things to do. It's my life now. Whether you're young or old, it's easy to fall into those traps. Who do you serve? Adonai or yourself? Do you recognize yourself as the servant of the Lord who is owned by Christ and is a mere steward of God's resources? Do you realize that what you have in your home itself, your own life, your bank account, whatever you have, is Adonai's? It's His. Do you live for yourself or the Lord? Do you tell God, I can't or I won't? When you read something in Scripture or His Spirit moves you to do something, do you tell Him, I can't or I won't? Or do you humbly submit to Him as the lover and Lord of your life? Beloved, growth in the Christian life begins when we come to understand that God is Adonai and that He is Lord of all. And He wants to make us... And He wants to make His resources available to us so that we can serve Him worshipfully, effectively, and joyfully. Dear saints, serve the Lord faithfully, for He is worthy and He is wonderful. God will not overlook your labor of love for His name or the sorrow you bear in His will. No matter what you are going through, in obedience to the Lord, trust Him, walk with Him, wait on Him, and He will meet your needs. Your faithfulness will one day be rewarded as you stand before Him and look into the eyes of the Lord and He tells you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your, listen, Master. Remember this, if you look to Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith, all these individuals, time and again you read, by faith, Abraham, by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, all these individuals did these things. And you know what? Some individuals are mentioned in there. Jephthah, Gideon, Samson. Other individuals that from our perspective were not stellar examples of faith. Yet in the mind of God, they got an A. And they received their reward. And you and I will not be as faithful as we should be. Because we will fear men. We will fear outcomes. And we will be tempted to deny the faithfulness of the Lord. But I want you to know that in Christ you will receive an A. Therefore serve Him diligently. Because His reward is great. His reward is Him. But how you live today matters. Shortly before His death, the prophet Samuel gave the nation of Israel these parting words. And so they'll be my parting words to you this morning. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart, for consider what great things He hath done for you. Love the Lord, dear saints, and serve Him faithfully, because it will be worth it all one day. Father, dear Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we seek to understand that You are owner and yet You are gracious servant, our minds short circuit when we see that You served us through Your Son in providing us what the truest and most deepest need of our heart, which is conversion and salvation from Your judgment that we have earned because of our sins. And yet You, in mercy, dear God, have paid the price for our atonement. And not only that, Lord, You've served us in Your death, but Lord, You serve us in Your resurrection and Your ascension and reign, because You ever live to make intercession for Your people. Father, I ask that You would help us to catch what it means that You are our master, and that we do not have a right to withhold from You what is Yours, be it our time, our energy, our resources, our finances, whatever. I just pray that, Lord, Your people would humble themselves and seek Your face, and that, Lord, You would show to them the blessedness of Your mastery, that You own them. And that, Lord, whatever needs arise in our life, physical or spiritual, You will provide, because You are the God who provides. Oh, Lord, I just pray that You'd help us to love You and worship You and serve You out of the most purest motivations. So not only we might receive a reward, but that we might exalt You and glorify Your name in our homes and in our community. Lord, we love You. Just help us to be faithful and to be obedient, to trust You with all of our heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.